And everybody's sounding good tonight. Come and join me here. David's on piano, Gene on the keyboard. That's a nice little switch up. Gene, when she played with this Christian, I don't know what she called up, rock band, but you know, like contemporary stuff, she played the keyboard. They traveled around. That's before she met Mr. Woman. Let's open our Bibles up, our hand up for something. Let's get ready to receive the word. Ready? Say, I'm ready. Say that with me. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I do. And I can have what it says I can. Tonight I'm going to be called. Incorruptible. Indestructible. Seed of the Word of God. I will never be the same. Never, 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 never. In Jesus' mighty name. All God's people said. I want you to turn in your Bibles. I'm going to give you a minute to find this book. This is one that maybe you go to a lot of times, but it's in the Old Testament. It's called the Book of Lamentations. Lamentations. And Amy, if you could put it up there for us. Oh, that's Hannah right there. I thought that was Amy back there. Lamentations. We're going to chapter 3. If you got your Bible, find it in your Bible and say amen when you get there. Lamentations 3, and I will begin reading in verse 21. I want to title my message tonight, Words for the Weary. Words for the Weary. Ever felt weary? We all feel weary at times. Tired. Fatigued. Burn out. Lamentations 3, verse 21. Jeremiah says, this I recall. This is what he says. This I recall to my mind. Therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Grace is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. God bless the reading of this word. If you would take the one hand next to you, let's pray together, expanding God. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be here tonight. I pray, Father, not only for each one here, but all those, Lord, that are watching as it is streamed through the internet. We pray for those, Lord, that will be listening by CD, Lord. We pray that, God, you would take this word and anoint it in such a way that it would come to life and bring life and liberty to everyone that hears it. Your word tells us that there is liberty in Jesus Christ, and he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. So, Lord, bring liberty. Break the bondages and the yokes and chains off of people's lives tonight with this word. Set us free. And, Lord, restore our strength in you. We pray and ask it all now. With unction to preach and to hear in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. May be seated. Words for the weary. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to give you 4 points, and like I do on Wednesday night, I do some, not just throw down preaching, but I try and do some teaching along with it. And because we like to go a little bit deeper on Wednesday night. Amen?
Amen?
Amen? I didn't know if I needed to just keep saving the kiddie pool tonight. I wasn't sure. I want to make sure y'all ready to let's launch out this deep. So let's go a little deep. Look, if you would, to chapter 1. You can just turn your Bibles up to chapter 1, and I'm going to give you a verse. Hannah, we're going to be going to verse 1 and 2 to start with. But I don't want to read those verses yet. The first thing I'm going to say to you is these are 4 C's I'm going to give you. Everybody say C. Let's see your C. You got the C? All right. I was a great C student. Amen. Hallelujah. Guy, you know, that's not like C, like S-I. You know what I'm saying. I'm saying like the letter C. That's my brother back there. Me and him, we had a good time. The first C is this, and it's to get this whole idea about words for the weary. Jeremiah's calling Jeremiah's calling. Jeremiah, the Bible tells us that God knew Jeremiah while he was yet in his mother's womb and called him while he was still in his mother's womb, gave him a pastoral call to the ministry. Now, God knows all of us before we're even born. The Bible says, for the foundation of the world, He knew us and chose us in Christ. Amen? Ephesians 1, Ephesians 2, 3 and 4. You can read all that there. Romans chapter 9. It's called election. And God's Word teaches that, no doubt. But I want you to understand what I'm trying to say here is that God called Jeremiah, Brother Keith, while he was still in his mama's womb. Now, Brother Keith knows what it is to feel that call to the ministry. He was one of the first people I've ever ordained to the ministry. If not the first, I'd have to go back and think. Either the first or the second, something like that. But when you've got a call on you from God to be a pastor, it is a thing that just will not let you go. Like that song we were singing about, His love is relentless, you know, and He won't relent. Let me tell you, it will not let you alone. You can run from it. I had a preacher friend, and he was an old man when he told this story. And he told how that he was in World War II, got drafted, was in the South Pacific, and said he really wanted to go to war because he felt that call to preach. And yet he wouldn't yield to it. He wouldn't submit to that call to preach. His name was Guy. I can't think of his last name. He pastored at one time a little church in Swainsboro. Can't remember his last name. Drawing a blank. He's going to be the Lord now. But he told me how that while he was in World War II in the South Pacific, he fought at Iwo Jima and Corregidor and all these bad places there in the South Pacific. Kind of like Harry and Cindy's dad did. He told me, he said, when I was there, I was trying to run away from God, but God followed me there. I couldn't get away from that call. And he said, Brother Tom, we were in some of the worst battles you've ever seen. He was a Marine, and he was in some of the worst fighting. And he said, people would be shot and even blown up right next to me. And he said, their flesh would be on me. They were that close. He said, but after every one of those battles like that, there wasn't a scratch on me. He said, I couldn't understand it. He said, finally, I watched the sick kid and I realized God was sparing me, at least for a while. And I said, Lord, if you let me live, I will. When I get back, first thing I'm going to do when I get back to Georgia, I'm going to let my pastor know that I feel the call to preach. Well, can you imagine? Jeremiah was in his mother's womb at that call. I don't know if he kicked a bunch or moved around a bunch, but what I'm trying to tell you is that before he was ever born, he was mapped out to be a preacher. His whole life growing up, he was supposed to be a preacher or a prophet, as he called there in the Old Testament. So that was his calling. He was called. And by the way, the Bible tells us that he was called in this first chapter. It tells us that he was called to go to the people of Israel. They had strayed from God. And he was to go to a wayward people. A wayward. Everybody say wayward. Say, turn your neck to neighbor. That means they hard-headed. Hard-headed. I think Jim pulled that out. They were hard-headed. And he was sent, it wasn't like he was sent to a great church to start off with. He was sent to some rough scoundrels that didn't want to hear nothing he had to say. And after he left that first place, the next place was the same way. Third place, same way. The fourth place, same way. In fact, they started getting mean and ugly to it. They tried to bury him in an old water tank called a cistern. They wanted to kill him. They tried to get rid of him. They wanted to shut him up because the whole time, every day, all day, wherever he went, he was telling people about God. And they needed to repent. Let me tell you, the world doesn't want to hear that today. The world wants to hear that, you know, that everything is bluebirds and sunshine and God doesn't really mind. I mean, He doesn't like things that we do wrong. He doesn't like fornication. He doesn't like gossiping. He doesn't like this. He doesn't like that. But, you know, it's not that big a deal with God. Let me tell you, it's a real big deal with God.
It's a real big deal with God.
You'll never know how big it is until you repent and turn to God and you see the difference in His blessing upon your life then versus before. And also the scary thing is you'll know how long He'll deal with you like this and be long-suffering. My being fine, He'll just let you go over to it. And that's the scariest thing of all. The second C is this, Jeremiah's concern. You notice in verse 1 he says, and Josh had reminded me of one of these verses the other day we were talking, but verse 1 says, he said, he still remembered when I preached on it. He said, how does the city sit solitary? Chapter 1, verse 1. He said, how does the city sit solitary that was once full of people? How has she become as a widow? He said, the city's like a widow. You know, a widow this morning. She that was what? She that was great among the nations and princess among the provinces. How has she become tributary? She weepeth sore in the night, and her tears are on her cheeks. Among all her lovers, talking about the city, the people, she hath none to comfort her. All her friends have dealt treacherously with her. They have become her enemies. What he's talking about there is how the people of Israel, particularly this town, they had turned away from God, and they had joined themselves with heathen nations. Everybody say heathen nations. Let me tell you, that's why I don't think we need to let every Tom, Dick, and Harry from these Muslim countries come in. I'm fine with people coming from Christian countries and things like that coming to our country, but you let these killers come in here, let me tell you, they're destroying Michigan right now, all these people from Somalia. They're coming here. They're bringing this Muslim religion in, and they're killing people. I mean, it's just awful. And they had basically done the same thing, and they had courted these folks and wanted to be accepted by them. You know, we just want to be accepted by you. Whatever it takes here, we'll give you money. Does that sound familiar to somebody? If we'll give you this. We'll do that for you. We'll bow down before you. Just like us. And before long, they started taking on the traits of these heathen nations. And all these heathen nations, by the way, were the forerunner of what are now Muslim nations. And he says, it's a better thing. This city was once great. Let me tell you, the Bible says that wickedness is a reproach upon any nation. And not only have they begun worshiping these false gods, they started doing everything with it. For instance, when you worship a lot of these gods, they had temple prostitutes that had sex around the altar. They would take their children and burn their children alive to please these false gods. And on and on it went. And if they did all that, turned their back on the God Jehovah that had brought them out of Egypt across the Red Sea. Done all these miracles. So his concern was for Israel to turn back to God. So he had a concern. You remember the title of the message? Words for the... Words for the what?
Weary.
And he was getting weary. Notice his consternation. His consternation. Third C, verse 12. He said, is it nothing to you? This is the verse that Josh said he remembered me preaching from. Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Behold and see, if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, Jeremiah said, which is done unto me, wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger. What he's speaking about there, he's saying God has given me a calling and it's not pleasant. Let me tell you something we ought to always do, whether I'm your pastor or someone else, always try and make your pastor's job as easy as possible. Don't be a reproach. Try and if you need some motivation during the day, do the right thing for God first. But if you need some more, do something for your pastor so that it doesn't burden him and make him sad and cause him to have his consternation. Be ready to receive the Word of God. Be joyful when you come into God's house. Don't look like a mule that's been eating briars all day long with your lips off. Most of that, of course, I know a lot of people. That's why they don't look like they get shots and stuff in the mouth. I had his headache. That neurologist, he's from Italy. I don't even remember what doctor, what's her name? Dr. Fundego or something or something like that. I can't remember what my name. She said, I want to give you these shots to aim at your head. They will help you with the headache. I said, what she got like? I said, what is it? She said, it's botulism. I said, botulism? I said, lady, that's food for you. It's not in my head. What's wrong with you? And she had them lips like that. Somebody, what's her name? Goldie Home? Got them big lips. And so, there's a lot of people coming to church, and their lips all stuck out, but they hadn't had any of that collagen put in them. They just all upset, and they're sideways, and they didn't get their way about something, or they're mad with the world. Come in here rejoicing. It'll make me feel better, it'll make you feel better, but it'll please God. Amen. I went into his courts with thanksgiving, the Bible says. So his consternation was he had to deal with these people. And God had put it on him to do it. But then fourth, I'm going to tell you about Jeremiah's, not only his calling, Jeremiah's concern, thirdly, Jeremiah's consternation, but Jeremiah's champion. Everybody say Jeremiah's champion. Jeremiah's champion. You notice our text that we read from chapter 3 and verse 21. Look what it says right there. It says, this I recall to my mind, therefore I have my hope. Do you know that there are scriptures? And we've all experienced this. There are scriptures that when the Holy Spirit brings them to our mind, it's like water in a dry bush or a dry tree, isn't it? It's something that just refreshes us. And that's why we need to read the Word, you know. And I encourage you to write scriptures on index cards. Carry them around, pull them out. I still have them around the house and in my bathroom and in my truck. And I still, you know, at 50 more years old, still trying to memorize scripture. Because sooner or later, the Holy Spirit will bring it back to mind. And he will even, if you have to memorize some enough, that's gotten in, but you can have so much more. Okay? Listen. He says, this I recall to my mind. Therefore, have I hope. Next verse. It is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed. Notice it says the Lord's mercy. You know, there's a huge difference when you say the Lord's mercy. It's God's blessing. Donnie Boone is a man that loves Jesus. You will bless somebody if you can, right? But there's a limit to what you can do with it. You can't walk through the children's hospital and snap your fingers three times and every child with cancer be healed. You can't do that. You pray for what God can heal. You can be very merciful as a human being. That's great, and we should. We should, all of us. But I want to tell you, there's a vast difference between when we are merciful, that is wonderful, but when God is merciful. When He's merciful, He pulls out all the stops. I mean, when He's merciful, just to get a picture of it, it's like the father of the prodigal son. I mean, mercy is what we don't deserve, but desperately need. That's the definition of mercy. And the prodigal son received mercy. You see, he had turned against his dad. He had sold everything his dad had worked for and accumulated through generations of his family. Lost it all. Came back with a bad reputation. In a mess. And his dad, instead of putting him down, he ran and hugged his neck and kissed him. Kissed him. It's the only place in the Bible where you find, and the father and the prodigal son is a picture of God. Jesus let us know that in a parable. And it's the only picture of God in the Bible that you see God running. God never runs any other place in the Bible. He walks. It talks about God walks upon the storm. It talks about Jesus walking upon the water. That's the only place that you find God running. Is when a child that needed mercy repented and came back home. And let me tell you something, my friend. That's mercy. And it says this right here. This is his champion. Jeremiah's champion was the Lord. He's the one to help him hang in there like a hair in a biscuit. He's the one to help him stay keep on keeping on and to not give up. He said it is the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed because this compassion is failing us. Next verse. Verse 23. They are new, what? Every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Hold it right. You know something, folks? I don't know if you remember this, but I'm going to tell you. I'm going to give you four quick things to remember. First of all, remember His mercies are fresh every morning. God's mercies are fresh to you every morning that you wake up. That's a blessing to know. Because that means even if I had blown it the day before, God's mercies, as I repented and I've asked Him to forgive me and help me, His mercies are new, fresh, every morning. Hallelujah. They're fresh every morning. Secondly, remember, not only are His mercies new every morning, fresh every morning, remember He is faithful. You know the way He says, great is thy faithfulness. You know that hymn we sing? Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. That's where that comes from, this verse. Great is His faithfulness. What does it mean to be faithful? It means He sticks right there with you. If you're like me and you've ever had a broken marriage where somebody ran out on you like I experienced, let me tell you what, that's a devastating thing. Because it doesn't just touch one. I remember people saying, what's the worst part? I said, there's no one part. It's all bad. It touches every part of your life. I said it's worse than death because at least with death, there's some closure. And I'm going to tell you, that doesn't just mean in a marriage relationship, but in a friendship relationship. Maybe a relationship with somebody that you love in the Lord, a brother or sister in Christ, or a family member. The Lord put it this way in one place in the Bible. He says, will a mother that has a young infant nursing, will a nursing mother forget her child? And the Lord answers the question, yes, some will. And we know that's the truth. They'll leave them at garbage dumps at a dumpster. They'll put them in baskets on people's front door. Some do bad things to them to try and get rid of them. Some try and kill them before they even are born. He says, they may forget, but I tell thee, I shall never forget thee, for I have engraved thee upon the palms of my hands. He wrote your name on His hand. He's faithful, folks. He's faithful. Listen, I thank God He's not faithful in relation to how faithful I am to Him. Thank God for that tonight. Thank God He doesn't say, well, you've been this faithful, I'll be that same amount of faithful to you. Thank God He ain't been like that to us, folks.
Amen.
When we've been unfaithful, He's remained faithful. When He took us to the worst woodshed because we were away from Him, dabbling and stuff we just needed, that was God being faithful, saying, I love you, I will not let you destroy yourself. He will not go to hell. So remember, these are words for weary. Remember His mercies are new, fresh every morning. Remember He is faithful. Number three, remember He is your fulfillment. Look at verse 24. Verse 24. The Lord is my what? He is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in Him. Hold it right there. He's my portion. In other words, what that means is, it means God is what fulfills me. I had a wonderful blessing. Sister Stephanie
spoke, Stephanie Miller from our church spoke to a group of high school seniors down at Georgia Southern at a leadership summit that one of our congressmen from Washington was putting on, had her be a keynote speaker. And she borrowed some things from a message I had preached, and I felt very honored, but I told her, I said, this isn't mine, this is from God. I just borrowed it from Him, you know, so give Him the credit. But I got to read her speech that she gave, and it's a lot of her testimony is with it. But one of the overarching things through it all was how that we need to always realize that our fulfillment comes from God. And she was giving advice. She said, if I could give advice to myself, it's kind of like that song, that Christian song, Dear Younger Me, and that what it's called? Dear Younger Me. Isn't that what that goes on? You know, she's like, well, that's the whole premise of the speech. If I could go back 17 years to when I was a high school senior and tell myself the same, this is what it'd be. And the overarching thing really through it all was, realize that you're performing for an audience of one. And as long as you are fulfilled, let your fulfillment be by Him and not the applause of others, that your life will be blessed. And that is so true. Do you know that for a long time, really until I got saved, I really lived my life trying to please others. I was a middle child. I was always trying to keep Daddy, when he was drunk, from beating up my older brother that's 10 years older and trying to shield my little sister who was 6 years younger from seeing what was going on, trying to take Mom. I felt like I was always, that was my job. You know, I was like, I guess I was a shepherd growing up. And I wanted to please Daddy in such a way that he wouldn't want to be mean or ugly. And then as I started getting older, I found that I wanted to be a people pleaser. I wanted people to like me, and so I would do what they liked, and I would try and be funny, and I would try and give them things, and I would try and do stuff to try and get them to like me. And I never really understood that till I got saved, and then a few years after that, and I heard a song by Stephen Curtis Chapman, and it was called An Audience of One. And if you have never heard it, y'all can Google it, listen to it tonight. Somebody else will say, find it, put it on Eagles. I wouldn't get paid that job. An Audience of One. Listen to it then. It's awesome. And it talks about my life is a performance for an audience of one. It's what he thinks. Doesn't mean we don't care what our family thinks and our church family and our friends. I didn't know you're considerate. You think about them. But it means we're ultimately finding our fulfillment in His approval. Finally. Remember this. Even, don't forget this now. You come down here where I can get you a piece. Last thing on the subject. Even if today, everybody say today. Now, I don't understand what I'm saying today. This might not be your today that this today thing happens, okay? That makes sense. It might be next week. Or you might have it 3 or 4 days in a row have these today you're going to talk about. But even if today is a total disaster, and I don't mean necessarily you've sinned or done something wrong, but maybe just nothing has worked out for you. Okay? Let me tell you, I was so bummed on Sunday after church. Y'all don't know why. But I was supposed to be in Astor, Florida fishing, catching them bluegill and shellfackers like they're going out of style. That's what I thought I was going to be doing. Me and Brother Harry's been selling goats and chickens and all kind of stuff for the last year to get our money up together because it ain't cheap to go down there. Rent a boat we used to go cheap share a room, but I can't hold the joke of snoring so bad, so I had to get him my own place where I could sleep. Well, you did! You said, I don't snore. He'd be 5 minutes later if I snore. I don't know where I'm at. I tell you what, I took me a coat hanger because it's 2 point beds, and I'd reach across there and hit his legs with it. But anyhow, I finally got tired of it because it kept waking me up to sleep. But, you know, it caused
probably a good $1,000.
You know, between the room, two rooms, gas, eating, and the bait, and then rent a pontoon boat. And like I say, Gina, it doesn't come out of our money. We sold chickens and goats and stuff. Made it how we could. And we keep it in little zipper bags until we get enough money. Well, we've been looking forward to this thing for a year. And it's fun to go down and you see bears. I mean, we literally had a bear fight getting the boat with us last year, didn't we, Brother Harry? I mean, Harry was on the other side of the boat fishing, but he didn't even care about them. I said, Harry, there's a bear! I know he thought I was just messing with him. Finally, he turned around. Did he holler? No, he got his camera. He goes taking pictures. He didn't make pictures. The bear is right within, from me to Keith, from the bow of the boat. And he's taking pictures. I said, man, get out of here. Go back. I said, I'm going to evacuate. Sir? I want him to get out of my way. He has to go. You eat that old man there. He's so grizzly, you'll be tied up with him a while. I know it'd be hard. Getting out of here. Just in there, we just seen a big gator earlier that day. I mean, a big one. But I was going to jump one of them gators. Saying no bugs, no bear. But anyhow, what I'm trying to tell you, we have a good time and we look forward to that. You know, we do. Usually by about the second or third day, Brother Harry is saying, Tom, will you please shave? You look so boogie. If I don't shave or nothing, you know, I do take a bath every night, but I look booger. And, I will land this. Okay, see, I'm going to land this 20 years. I'm just trying to give y'all a little feeling of how much it's fun and how we look forward to it. Y'all see what? We look forward to it. By the way, the first time we ever been there, we got there about 10 o'clock at night and went to the Circle K to get some ice, have everything ready to go out early the next morning. And this woman walks up to Harry. She's about 60. And she's standing there and she starts rubbing her tongue. Ooh, that might feel damn. She said, I work at the Blackwater Cafe. I said, my gosh, man, you just got it, man. We've been in town 5 minutes. That's true story. She looked like King Tom's sister, but anyhow. No, she was really nice looking lady, to be honest. I mean, she was, you know, from an old woman, but anyhow. I mean, that's the image of me looking good, because they're about the same age. But what I'm trying to say is, we couldn't go because of a low pressure system, like a almost like a tropical storm, but not one. Came on shore. Y'all heard that now, let me hear it. And it came on shore down in South Florida and was coming all the way up the state. And we were going to get washed out. Ronnie, now you look, I'm coming down there with you now, isn't it? And so we had to cancel our trip. And I was so bummed out. And what I'm trying to tell you is, you may have something that really disappoints you. And you just like, man, I can't do this no more. What's the use? I mean, that really bummed me out. Hey, Brother Harry told me today, he said, you know, Sunday night, I went to bed about 8:30, 9 o'clock. I was just so disgusted, you know. But I'm saying, whatever it is, remember what I'm fixing to tell you. If that happens to you today, or tomorrow, whenever it is, the next morning, do this. Begin. I knew that was real complicated. You ever wait on something to make you have to have, you know, an algebra break equation to break it down? No. It's simple, but it's strong. Begin again. You say, how can I begin? Well, His mercy will be new again in the morning. He will still be faithful to be right there with you in the morning. He loves you. He's going to bring all of heaven to bear to help you through this, whatever it is, and make it through. If somebody, amen, give God praise. Come on, praise Jesus.